Welcome to Season 11 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome, my friends. I'm excited you're here. Season 11, Episode 7, moving right along. This week I'm going to cover a topic solo because it comes up almost daily in the leadership space, and that is the importance of being a visionary leader. Now, I'm just going to come right out and say it. This is an area that I struggled, particularly early on my leadership journey. I had a vision for what I thought was possible for John. I didn't necessarily have a vision of what was possible for the team. And there's a big difference between having an individual vision for your life and having a vision for a team or an organization that will move the needle and get people excited to come into work, working towards the same thing, down the same path, completely different areas of focus. So if I struggle with it, I know other people struggle with it. And when we teach vision to teams and in organizations, it's beyond evident that leaders at the highest level in organizations, down to the front lines, struggle with vision. So I'm going to cover some examples today to help you think about what a vision really is and what you can do as a leader to be a more visionary leader and to envision a future better tomorrow or down the road than exists today. And I want to start with two specific stories because I think both of these provide a great example of what a vision and how powerful it can be. The first comes from President John F. Kennedy. He was visiting the NASA headquarters for the first time in 1961. And while touring the facility, he introduced himself to a man in a hallway who was mopping the floor. And he asked this man in the hallway, the President of the United States, he says, "What do you do at NASA?" And the janitor simply looked at the President and said, "I'm helping put a man on the moon." See, the first time I heard this story, I thought, wow, what an exceptional janitor. But when I really took a step back to think about it, what really was going on here was a leader inside NASA had created this vision internally. And every single person that came to work at NASA, it had been so clearly communicated that they knew that their job, whatever they were doing at NASA, was helping put a man on the moon. I just thought that was just so brilliant. One of my other favorite examples comes from Christopher Wren, who is a great English architect. And the story goes, one day he was walking around the building. He was building this big St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and he had designed it. And so he was walking around the building one day, and he came across one man that was helping build this great cathedral. And he simply asked the man, "What are you doing?" And the man looked at Christopher, and he said, "I'm cutting a piece of stone." Not that revolutionary, so he kept walking. And he found another man working on the cathedral just a little bit further down the road. And he said, "What are you doing?" And the man looked at Mr. Wren and he said, "I am earning 5 shillings and 2 pence a day." All about money. And he kept walking. He saw another man sitting up there working on the cathedral. And he said to the third man, he said, "What are you doing?" And this man turned to Mr. Wren and he looked at him and he said, "I am helping Sir Christopher Wren build a beautiful cathedral." Now you have three men. The first one just said, "I'm cutting a piece of stone." The second man said, "I'm earning 5 shillings and 2 pence a day." And the third man looked at him and said, "I am helping Sir Christopher Wren build a beautiful cathedral." Now, I highly doubt the third man is any more special than the other two men. But I can say that someone planted that vision into his head. some leader, some foreman on that project led differently than other leaders on that project. He saw something much bigger than just earning money or just doing a job. See, one of the most important things that you can do as a leader is to help people see a vision greater than they can see themselves. Because when you do that, then you'll have people choosing to come into work every single day and choosing to be disciplined. And if you don't remember or you haven't read any of our stuff, we define discipline as to promote standards in order for an individual to choose to be at their best. So what really good visionary leaders do is they provide something great, big, in the future, out ahead of you. So then you choose to be a disciplined person and meet or exceed the standards that are set for you. This is being a good visionary leader is not something that you can leave up to chance. Because people have a really hard time seeing what is possible. And they need a leader like you to help them develop a belief and a future vision that's bigger than something that they see. So there's a principle we teach in the Wilder Leader Program. It's pretty simple. It says, a vision doesn't guarantee a team will get where it wants to go, but they certainly won't get there without one. I'm going to repeat it. I love it. A vision doesn't guarantee a team will get where it wants to go, but they certainly won't get there without one. Now, there's a lot of exercises that you could do if you're not that great of a visionary leader to think more visionary. But I'm going to use another example of one of my favorite visionary and maybe the best modern day visionary leaders of today. And it comes from Elon Musk, the SpaceX and Tesla founder. And while he's been under fire for what he's been doing, there's not a better visionary leader. His vision that's clearly stated at SpaceX says, we're going to land people on Mars by 2025. Now, I tell people all the time, I have no desire, and I'm positive I will not be on that jet going from the U.S. to Mars by 2025. But I can say, what a beautiful example of a visionary leader. Because think of this for a second. If you worked at SpaceX and you were this brilliant engineer, all of a sudden you're no longer working just for the paycheck that you earn, but you're coming into the office each and every day thinking about putting people on Mars by 2025. I can't think of a better thing to give somebody. So we define a vision statement as a clear goal plus a completion date. So let's break down Elon Musk's vision statement. He says, we are going to land people on Mars by 2025. Now, this is a clear goal, land people on Mars, and he gives a clear completion date. By 2025. It is the definite, it's a perfect vision statement. It's perfect. Now, most people say, well, John, 2025 is a long time away. It is pretty long time. In the world of space travel, it's like tomorrow. It's like tomorrow. So, When you're thinking about a vision for your team, if you lead a small team or you're the CEO of a big company, to me, it really doesn't matter. Both the leader of a team and the leader of a company, they need to be visionary leaders. It's my job. It's my responsibility as a parent, a husband, a, a father at home to create a vision for my family that's better than today. It's the same thing. Now, we talk about vision being a clear goal plus a complete state. It doesn't always have to fit in this exact formula. So if you don't have a perfect vision statement that sets up a clear or big audacious goal plus a complete state, that's okay. I want you to use this as a metaphor to help you think about being a more visionary leader. What is possible that your team could achieve in 3 years? What is possible? Just think of that answer. What is possible for your team today to achieve in the next 3 years? And I want you to come up with what that is. And I want you to write it down. If you're not leading a team at work, I want you to think about, what could my family be in 3 years? Write it down. Talk about it with your spouse. Which leads me to the second part. Communicate the vision relentlessly. Okay, so the first thing you can do is define the vision. Remember, a vision is a clear goal plus a completion date. Remember Elon Musk's definition. We're going to land people on Mars by 2025. Then the second thing we're going to go do once it's been defined is to communicate it relentlessly. Because having a vision that is out of this world does absolutely no good if it's not communicated relentlessly with your team. People need to hear it and see it in order for them to take ownership. Because if it's just your vision, it's an empty vision. Because you can't achieve it by yourself. In fact, you have to have others to help you get where you're trying to go. To achieve that vision that you want to achieve. So once you're able to then communicate it all the time, then they can take ownership of the vision. Look, there's a lot of ways to go about communicating it. It can be written on walls. It could be on images in your office. It can be in your email signature. I mean, you could just shout it every day when you walk in the office. I don't really care how you communicate it relentlessly. I just care that you communicate it relentlessly. I think one of the most powerful things that you can do is to put it on your walls. Signs. Words have power. Words change behavior. Words change thinking. One of the best visionary leaders that I've met locally here in the area, when I walk in their building, one of the first things I see is this beautiful vision statement and where they're trying to go by 2020. Every single employee that walks in that building 5 days a week sees it. It's incredible. It cannot be taken for granted. Which leads us to the third part. Work towards small wins. Because you can be this great visionary leader that has an 8 or 3 or 5 year vision and you get people bought into it. But that's a long way away. And in today's world, in reality, how SpaceX actually gets to Mars by 2025 probably isn't even what they're working on right now. Things will change. So we have to find ways to work towards small wins. Think of it like this. You're a skier getting ready to go down a big slope. It's a slalom. For any of you skiers out there, they're flags. So you go around one flag, around the other flag. It's in the Winter Olympics. You're at the very top. You're at the start line. You can see the finish line way in the distance. But you have to go through each one of those flags individually in order to finish the race. These small wins can be the flags that your teams go through. Maybe they're quarterly flags. Maybe they're end of the year, April, August, October flags. Maybe they're monthly flags. I don't know. That's for you to decide. All I want you is for to be always looking for small wins on the road to reaching the vision that you've set out, so people know as a team we're making positive progress. The best part of this is as you define those small wins that you're going to try to achieve, each team member can then know the role that they play in helping you reach that small win. And when those small wins happen, at the end of the first quarter, at the end of the second quarter, at the end of the first month, at the end of the second month, you have to celebrate them. Because then you know your team is moving in the direction that you want to be going in. Because if we don't define or look at those small wins, it's going to be really difficult for people to stay motivated and excited to reach a 3, 5, and 8-year window. Because look, I'm a master of knowing that things don't happen on the timeline that you necessarily want them to. In fact, it's often in the disappointments where we learn where we're really going. So when your team does something great, or you achieve a milestone or a small win, or you reach that first flag going down the slalom hill, we need to celebrate it. It could be bonuses, it can be a party, it can be, you know, a high five. It could be whatever the things that work for your culture are. So let's review. The first thing that you can do is to define the vision statement. And a vision is just a clear goal plus a completion date. The second thing you got to go do is communicate it relentlessly. Different mediums, different ways, but use words. Words are powerful. And lastly, we want to work towards small wins so the team knows that we're going in the direction where we want to be headed. Now, I know a lot of people listening are probably like, wow, that's not really for me, John. I'm not the CEO. I'm going to say this again because it's so important. Every team needs a vision. Every team needs a vision. People need something to work towards, something that they don't see themselves. Look, it could be as simple as you know, wanting to be the highest performing team in your company by the end of the year. It doesn't really matter what the vision is. The key is that you've thought of something bigger than your team sees themselves. Now, one of the regular questions I get around vision is, my team works remotely. How can I be a visionary leader when I have a remote team? Now, let me first say this about remote teams. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of remote teams. But I know it's the direction that we're going. And that's okay. Technology is amazing. If you're using Slack or you're using Skype or you're communicating, you know, via text on a regular basis with your team, you gotta live with what you've got. So if you're leading a remote team and you're curious about how to be a better leader. I want you to. It's okay that you're leading a remote team. It's not what I prefer, but it's okay. Most of the things that I just laid out are the same. First, we got to define them. So make sure you have a definitive vision for your team. And then communicating it relentlessly goes the same way, except you just have to do it individually when you have one-on-one team members, or most remote teams get together once or twice a year. The key here for you will be the next time that you get together with your team is that you lay out that vision in some kind of creative way when you're with people so it will really sink in. Think of it like a really good movie. People remember experiences and they remember stories. So if you're only going to get one shot in front of the whole team to lay out that vision, it's got to have a little oomph behind it. It's got to have a little pizzazz. So think of something creative. You're more than capable of figuring out a creative way to tell the story about where you're trying to go. So your people will remember it. Because you're not going to see them every single day at the office. And you're not going to be able to reinforce it like a leader that has their team with them every day can. So think about that. How are you going to do it creatively? And then when you communicate it relentlessly, this is maybe the most important thing that you'll do is when you work towards small wins with your team, you got to define those things individually with team members. I don't know if you have most remote teams have a standing call once a week with each member of the team, or a team call maybe. If you have a team call, that's great. But then you got to make sure each individual team member knows those flags that we're working towards and their responsibility to help us get to that next flag. So overarchingly, it's not that different. The only thing that might really be different is you might have to focus a little bit more individually on team members. Make sure you have one-on-ones. And to be very honest, it might even be more important as a remote leader of a team than with a team that works in the same office. Much harder to keep your finger on the pulse with a remote team versus a team that works together every day. So, I hope these lessons today will help you be a better visionary leader, to give your team something that they can believe in and focus on greater than they can see themselves. Don't forget the welder leader principle. A vision doesn't guarantee a team will get where it wants to go, but they certainly won't get there without one. Put some of these principles and ideas into practice and let us know how it goes. Let us know how we can help you become a better visionary leader. You can email me directly, jeeds@learnloft.com. jeeds@learnloft.com. This is a difficult thing to get right, but it's so important that you do. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Follow My Lead podcast. It would mean a great deal to us if you would share this episode with your friends or your colleagues, anyone that you think could help develop and grow as a leader, which in my estimation is everyone. So until next time, be a good leader at home and at work.